Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
I want to talk today about how God gives gifts to his church and call us to the importance, as we're in a series called Presence, to our presence to what God wants to give. I was 16 years old when my dad took me to China. I got to go to China a number of times because of the missions work that he was doing there. I traveled there with my family and a number of businessmen and women who were going to invest in the underground house church movement in China. And to date, we've been a part of training and releasing, and I try not to be, exaggerate this, but I believe it's 100,000 house church pastors in China. And I was there, and we would stay in nice hotels, but then in the evenings sneak into dingy restaurants and meet with the heroes of heroes, these house church leaders, men and women of faith that nobody's ever heard of. They have no Instagram accounts. They have no fame. Nobody knows who they are, but they're leading hundreds of thousands of people. True generals of the faith. And going in at 16 years old, I knew of one in particular, and his name is Pastor Z. He goes by Pastor Z. He's been captured, tortured, imprisoned, but he leads the largest church in the world. And night after night, we'd go into these restaurants and eat food that my 16-year-old stomach was not accustomed to. And after a while, I just got tired of it. Got tired of hearing these translated stories, tired of eating this foreign food, and I tapped out. I was like, you know what? Tonight, I'm in Beijing, and I can see a Domino's pizza from my hotel window. And so I don't even know if I asked for permission, but I just skipped out on the meeting that night. Me and one other friend, we skipped out on the meeting. We ate Domino's. We got full on something our bellies knew real well. And we came back that night thinking, man, we had the best time. We ate Domino's. And everybody else from that trip came back and said, we met Pastor Z. We met Pastor Z. And I thought, oh my gosh. I traded the opportunity to meet the man. You know, you could try to meet the president or a Hollywood star or somebody that we know of on earth, but let me tell you, heaven overlooks those people. When these house church pastors pray, heaven shifts and hell trembles. And that night I missed it for Domino's pizza. The celebrity in heaven, I missed my moment. And people came back with fresh vision and impartation for what God can do, not just in their little local context, but truly to change the world. Now, I believe that by God's grace, I've not missed that opportunity through my life, but here's my encouragement. Let's not miss our moment. As we talk about presence, are we present to what God wants to give? I believe moment by moment, say like as Rachel takes the stage and prays, God is doing something for our church community. And my call is that we don't miss our moment week by week, that our physical presence to what God wants to do is deeply important. I came back from China with bootleg versions of Braveheart rather than an impartation from God. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Today we're looking at Romans chapter 1, where Paul is writing to the church in Rome. He's writing to a deeply divided church. Jews and Gentiles are going at each other, trying to decide how Jewish the church should be, how not Jewish the church should be. They're fractured, they're divided, and Paul is calling them to unity so that God can work through them to accomplish the mission in Rome and abroad. Paul needs a strong missions base there to be able to reach the rest of the world. Jerusalem has been able to launch missionaries, but now they're in foreign territory, and they need a strong base in Rome so that Paul can go to Spain, that Paul can change the world at the seat of power in Rome, or not Paul, but Jesus through Paul. And so Paul starts to call this church into unity. And he opens up his letter to them Romans chapter 1, verse 8 through 15, like this. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith that is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that I may, that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. What does Paul want to do? He wants to make it to Rome so that he can minister there. He wants to be with them physically, and he's asking them to join with him in faith so that he can be there physically. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Father God, I pray that you speak through this moment. God, our hearts are open, our ears are open, our body's present, our mind's present. If you're watching online, my encouragement, tune in. God has something for each of us. So how does God give gifts? He gives gifts through a person to a people for a place. Through a person to a people for a place. Through a person. Throughout the course of Scripture, God seems to choose one person to do something in their life that he would desire for everybody to have. It's like not everybody's quite ready for what God wants to do, so God will take one person, one man, one woman whose heart is set on them and do something mighty in their life so that through them, the rest of the world might be blessed. I think of Abraham, God calling him out of his father's home so that through you, the world might be blessed. I think of Mary, God calling her at a young age to carry Jesus so that the rest of us might proclaim the name of Jesus and carry Jesus in our hearts also. I think of Paul, God calling Paul or Saul on that road to Damascus and God getting him off of his horse and knocking him down and wrestling his pride out of him so that the Gentiles might know who this Jesus is. God does in one person what he desires to do for all. He starts with one and then he moves to the collective. Rarely does God just show up to a collective and call all the people similarly in the same way. God chooses to work through one man, one woman, and impart gifts to the body through that one person's experiences. The way it normally happens is it starts with a person's pain. And that person responds with perseverance. And then God gives impartation into that person through their experience, through their perseverance, through their pain, so that through them there might be greater impartation to the body as a whole. Starts with pain, moves into perseverance, and then into impartation. In another letter, Paul writes his rap sheet of pain to 2 Corinthians, to the church in Corinthians in the second letter. He says this, 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes, less ones, 39 lashes. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, and through sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, and without food, and with cold and exposure. And apart from all these things, my daily pressure of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul's like, listen, I've been through pain, but I persevered, and now I want to impart to you some faith, some gift, so that you too might make it through. God uses Paul's pain, and God wants to use your pain because each of us here, we are a person of God, and I believe that through each of us, God wants to impart a gift through you. It's not just the Pastor Z's. It's not just the heroes of church Instagram. It's you. It's the body of Christ. It's what God wants to do through each man and woman, each of us, your story, your testimony, your test, your overcoming. God wants to work through you, each person. God wants to turn your test into a testimony, your pain into perseverance, into a platform for praise. God wants to use what you're going through. God uses a person. He starts with a person who perseveres. In a world that wants a painless life, God wants to work through your pain for the sake of the world, The world just wants to avoid pain, but God would rather use your pain. Pain's almost inevitable. It's unavoidable. It's not that we go out searching for it, but my goodness, when it does find us, we turn it over to the Lord. We say, God, use this. Use it, God. Give me a vision for how this will turn into my blessing, turn into your glory, turn into my good, turn into my ministry, turn into what you want to do through me, God. God uses a person. Now, Paul was kind of a big-time guy. He was the man. He was known for being strong, a strong leader, a strong man of God. And I almost hesitate to say this point that God works through a person because the people, at least on our screens and on our news feeds, lately have been really bad. God loves to work through a man and through a woman, but particularly the men on our news feeds have been very, very bad. Pastors falling out, flaming out, going out, doing horrific things that is absolutely inexcusable. And as I see story after story of pastors falling, and this week whole denominations just getting caught in this, not caught, just choosing to willfully ignore and suppress the truth, terrifies me. Absolutely terrifies me that I would stand on a stage and ask God to speak through me for a people. I'm thankful, though, that I'm not walking alone. I'm first and foremost walking with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm next walking with my wife. And then I've got these three men, these two men up here. And then we are under an apostolic board. And every month I have a conversation with a prophet who looks at me and says, Nathan, how are you? Yes, sir. And I frequently undersell my soul to him. New Yorkers, we love to oversell ourselves. I undersell myself to my accountability prophet. He digs in me. I say, Lord, see through me. God, if there is any guile, anything unpleasing to me, I have made it my aim that I might be pleasing to you, God. Forget the fame, forget anything else. God, I've got one goal. Be pleasing to you, faithful to my wife, faithful to my calling and my children. God, help me. So if you've been hurt by all of this damage, by the quote-unquote men of God, first, as a man of God, man, I'm sorry. Secondly, I humbly submit this to you. Choose to persevere. Choose to look at that pain, which is sick and disgusting and absolutely intolerable. Choose to look at it and say, God, may this story not end here. This will not end in my demise. This will not end with me in the grave. This will not end in my faith in a ditch. But this will turn into your glory because I call upon the name of the one who turns graves into gardens and tombs into testimonies. I call upon the resurrection power of Jesus in my pain, in this moment, and I will not let it stop here. I humbly submit that to you. And I don't mind if somebody who's listening to this, if you don't even end up in our church, take that away. Is there pain in our city from a church wreck? Is there pain in our nation over a major denomination church wreck? Is there pain on Instagram and viral videos of pastors church wreck? It's just pain. Not you. Not today. Call upon Jesus. And even still, God chooses to use through a person. He chooses to impart his gifts through a person who perseveres through their pain. So the way God gives gifts to his church is through a person, and then it's to a people. It's to a people. It's to a collective body. Paul was not just writing to a random gathering, assembling of people, or a people out there. Yes, it ended up being recorded for all of time in the book of Romans, but God was speaking through Paul to Rome, to this local church in Rome. And he wanted to give a gift to this people, wanted to impart something to them. God loves to rest in a particular way on a particular people, place, and time. We just finished a series at the start of the year walking through the seven letters in Revelation. Each church had a particular gifting, calling, gift that God wanted to impart to those who conquer. God sees individual churches and identities and callings that are on particular places. God recognizes not just the church, but also local bodies. And here in this local body, a legacy that has been imparted to us is this deep well of faith. We started out of the ashes of 9/11. We started with Pastor Ron and Rice driving into the city as thousands and hundreds of thousands were fleeing the city. They drove into the city to meet, to pray, to stand with. Somebody donated a theater to us in Times Square for a number of years. We just move on faith. That's part of our legacy here. My dad, Pastor Ron, he was on his honeymoon somewhere on a nice island 17 years ago, kicking back on a beach when he got a call from New York City saying the property deal at 414 West 51st Street has fallen through. There's no hope. There's no way that the bank's going to give us a loan. And my dad looked at his brand new wife and said, honey, our honeymoon's over. It's time that we go to war in faith. And they prayed that deal through from an island in the Bahamas. We are sitting in a legacy of faith. That's something that rests on us as a people. You hear it in Rachel's prayer. You see it on Pastor Shino. By God's grace, you see it on me. And it's something that we carry here together. It's faith. God wants to move through a particular people. And so he wants to give a gift from a person to a people. As such, we must unite. We've got to unite. If we're going to, if God wants to give a gift from a person, we've got to receive it. If God wants to give a gift to a people, then we have to be united, united around the one and only name of Jesus. Saying that, you know, we love to sing it, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can we mean that over every political situation? Over every blasted shooting that happens in our nation, can we plead that blood of Jesus over every turmoil and tumult that our nation is going to belch forth from the pit of hell? Can we say the blood of Jesus is the answer? Not this politician, not that ideology, nothing but the blood. Can we mean it? Can we unite on that? Can we stand firm on that? Can we trust and read our Bibles like our lives depend on it? Can we do it, church? I'm asking us, can we get over left, right, donkeys, elephants, and center on the Lamb? Can we do it? It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You're going to want to not trust each other. You're going to want to fight each other in the comments section. But by God's grace, we're going to unite and carry something greater that's a blessing to our city if we can unite and center on the Lamb. God wants to give a gift from a person to a people for a place. If the world had a capital 2,000 years ago, it was Rome. Seat of the Roman Empire, place where Caesar was. They had taken over the whole world, place of extraordinary power, extraordinary influence. And Paul had desired for so long to get to Rome and preach the gospel. That's why he's saying here, I want to reap a harvest in Rome. And he's not just saying, you know, just your average Roman citizen, I want to reach the influence. I want to go after those who are making decisions. And eventually Paul gets to write, members of Caesar's household sends their greetings too. Paul had a vision to reach Rome and all of it. Today, if the world has a capital, we're sitting right in the middle of it. Amen. Unprecedented diversity, 800 languages spoken in New York City, center of finance, fashion, advertising, business, museums, art, more college students than any other city in the world, home of the United Nations, we are in our modern Rome. And it is not by accident that you find yourself here today. worshiping the one and only. As the rest of the city worships finance and beauty and fashion and education and medicine and technology, we're here to worship the one and only living God. It is not a trivial thing that you would find yourself worshiping the Lord here in New York City today. We take all of that context into mind every time we gather. It's not a trivial thing that God would give us land in New York City. It's not a small thing that it's going to take mighty faith to accomplish God's purposes here in this city. Jesus will be glorified in this place. The gospel will be preached in this place. Disciples will be made in this place. And if we can receive the gift that God has put into us, receive from the people that God has put around us, unite as a people of God in this place for this time, I believe God is going to do a mighty work through this church, Every Nation, New York City. As I close and invite Ken on stage with me here today, I'd like to pray over us that there would be an impartation of faith for us. I know that each of us have our personal battles. Many of us believing for finances. Shino mentioned believing for homes and houses, apartments. In order to live in New York City, you need crazy finance or crazy faith. It's a given. But I believe that God has provision for each and every one of us. Some of us are believing for our children, wayward children, sick or hurting family members. And that today God wants to give you faith for where you are. As Paul was writing, I want to impart some spiritual gift to you, to the church in Rome. I don't think that that was just another spiritual gift. I think that they were already praying in tongues. I'm pretty sure they were already prophesying. I'm pretty sure that they were already operating in these spiritual gifts. But Paul wanted to take something of his experience, of perseverance, from his pain, from the depths, and give it into that church in Rome so that they could overcome in the face of Caesar, in the face of what was going to come, Nero, in the face of the adversity and the hardship, that he wanted to impart into them something so that they too could overcome, some faith. And so today, if you need faith for where you are, what you're facing, would you join me on your feet? If you need faith this morning to come through, to break through, and I believe that today God is breaking us through to the next level as individuals, next level in your job, next level with your desire for a husband or a wife, a next level for your desire for your children, blessings in our homes, blessings over our careers. God, we look to you. We lift up our eyes to the hill. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Lord, we look to you right now. According to John, 1 John chapter 2, according to God's word, you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. According to Romans chapter 8, you are more than a conqueror. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thanks be to God who gives you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that right now, according to your word, you would impart to us faith. Faith in you, faith to persevere, faith to keep pressing, faith to keep moving, God. Father God, thank you that you are real, that you are alive, and that today you are fighting for us. Our faith is not how loud we can shout or how good we can look. Our faith is how deeply we can trust our God. Even faith itself is not the strength of your faith. It's what really matters is the object of your faith. We don't look to man. We don't look to our boss. We don't look to that circumstance changing. We look past it. We look to the Lord. And we set our anchor on the one that never fails, on the one that never moves. We look past our circumstances and into the eternal and set our faith firmly on the rock of Jesus Christ today. God, I pray that you would impart faith for every circumstance to this body. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.